don't fear me, because I know what I want. Please deliver me, that's all part of your soul. It makes you freeze time, staring in at yourself. It's time to step outside onto the path you once made.
Where I watch classic Doctor Who and talk about it and ramble a lot incoherently. Today's episode is An Earthly Child Part 4, so let's get right to it and start watching. As I said before, like, this caveman episode is not one of my favorite stories. Like, the very first episode when they first introduce Susan and the Doctor and stuff, I think is really good, but I don't think the story gets into a really roll until the Dalek episode, which is going to be the next one. And also, I'd like to say that there's going to be guests on this. I've lined up some and recorded a couple of future episodes because I'm going to get a back catalog. And eventually, I want this Brain Leakage podcast and my Classic Valiant rereading podcast, I Wish I Was Brave With. Those are going to go weekly starting in October. So I'm creating a back catalog as much as I can. And then I'll be releasing those weekly. And my two other podcasts, Talking with Mar and Tim Pod, those will be monthly. But now onto the Doctor Who episode. We're back at the caves, and the TARDIS crew has helped somebody. So they looks like they may be starting to connect with some of these people in a good way. It's funny that you have this type of episode, and it ends up being a very, very talky episode. And you wouldn't think caveman, very, very talky, but that's what ends up being, I think, in the long run. And I really don't have a problem with very wordy stories. I myself don't write very descriptively. I write very short descriptively and then dialogue. I love, like, people like Brian Michael Bendis's books, which get criticized for being more talky and less action. But I'm a little bit surprised that this story is as much as it. I think, in a way, it's still trying to tell a really good story with these characters without being just very stereotypical. Now the Doctor's doing stuff with stones. It reminds me of CP3O with the Ewoks. I'm waiting for him to do a Darth Vader impression. Here in a minute. Oh, now the Doctor's trying to twist people and turn them, which he's very good at, always has been, always will be. Very, very manipulative in very big ways. Now they're... So the Doctor and Ina just incited a stoning on somebody? Expel him and stone him. That's the Doctor Who way. It's interesting, though. It's a way of them protecting themselves was doing this with, It's another thing you'll see modern shows, period, and I know it's a little thing that only a weird person like me would pick up on, is how dirty the characters get in these early Doctor Who's. Maybe it's just the black and white nature. People weren't focused on the costuming as much, maybe, in some ways. I don't know. And the color, like, later would pick up more color, so you didn't like the way it looked. But, like, by the end of this story, and a lot of stories in the first Doctor era, and some in the second, like, their clothes get very much torn and ripped and stuff. That's probably a costuming thing, too. That's why the characters stay in one's costume for most of the part. But, I think, like, later that actually hurt. I know they wanted to say, like, get, like, this is their costume, but hurts a little bit. I mean, you don't want to do the stupid thing they always do with women characters when their clothes are always torn in certain revealing spots. That's just idiotic. But to show, like, damage and dirt on clothing and stuff is just realistic and it looks cool. But I understand from a costuming standpoint, you don't want to rip up a bunch of clothes or even mess them up to a large extent. And it looks like the Doctor and crew been banned to the Cave of Skulls again, which I think is actually an original name of one of these episodes, if I'm mistaken. When I was younger, I used to be obsessed with the fact that some of the early episodes were individually named instead of like the whole story names. And when I created my own like continuity guide, I would always have these stories like bracketed as like Unearthly Child, and it was like what the individual ones were doing. Yeah, I was one of those weird kids that made my own continuity guide. It's my Doctor Who continuity guide. I fit in and then, let's see, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy to it. And all Douglas Adams' work, basically. I found a way of putting that in because, you know, the thing with, like, Dirk Gently stories was originally based off, in a way, the shot of unfinished Doctor Who episodes. So, in a lot of ways, yeah, it could fit in there. I'm trying to think of other weird things I didn't. Because I used to have all my stuff on the shelf, and I'd had it in what I thought the continuity order was. And I would even have more than one. Like, I used to keep my, like, I don't have them anymore. I got rid of all my old VHS copies, but I kept them for a long time because, like, I would have, like, the doubles where stuff, like, Five Doctors or stuff, in which point it takes place in a different timeline of each Doctor. So I would find like a very generic copy of it, and I'd put it in each one of it, or a very like cheap rundown copy of it. And I got rid of my VHS just because there was too much with all the books and everything. But I used to have everything like in that kind of order, comic strips, everything. I would scan some of my comic strips out of like magazines or anything like that. And then I would put them in different places on CDs. With all the books and everything, we're like at different places. If I came out with a copy, they came out with a collection. Like, I remember they came out with a Dalek collection that had like, I think it was the Dalek Invasion of Earth in the Chase Dalek episode. And I found a way of putting that in there that explained it would be here instead of here. But you have, you know, all that crazy stuff fans do, which is fun in a lot of ways and stuff. But I don't, like I said, with so much stuff now, I don't really do that. I got my stuff separated in, like, the DVDs, and then the books, and then, like, the graphic novels, and then, like, the audios, and then, like, the nonfiction, stuff like that. So, yeah. I hope, like, trying to fill this with more talk about something Doctor Who related, because it's hard to talk too much when you got characters, you know, rubbing two sticks together, and that's a plot point. And yeah, it is a plot point, and it is a crucial point of this story, but it's not that exciting of a point, really. But yeah, I hope I don't say "but yeah" a lot in this, but yeah. After this will be the Dalek story. We'll start into that, and the first episode of that I have a guest on. And then after that story, which I think the Dalek episode's four episodes, the Dalek story's four episodes. But after that's the Edge of Destruction, which is like one of my all-time favorite Doctor Who episodes. And then we'll go on from there. Yeah. So today I got a lot of podcasting to do, though. Like I said, I'm going to record a number of Doctor Who ones today. And I'm going to try to do some to get the back catalog up. I'm going to record some of the Valiant ones today that I'm doing, and so people can see these on a regular basis. Plus, I want to get through a lot of them. I mean, face it, there's a crap load of Doctor Who stories, and there's quite a few of those Valiant stories, but at least it's like the classic Valiant. So, and if I come to a point where, like, there's something I don't have, I'll probably pause and try to buy it. Like, it'll probably happen with the Valiant stuff. I got a really good comic book shop near us, Famous Faces and Funnies. You can look them up online if you're local to me. But they have a lot of the old Valiant stuff, and they're really good about picking up stuff if they don't even have it for you. Some of the Doctor Who stuff that if I don't have it on DVD, which I don't have everything on DVD, might be a little harder because I think they're getting ready to start releasing everything on Blu-ray. So they stopped making the DVDs, and they're getting expensive, like on Amazon and places. So if I end up skipping some of those, I might end up skipping them. I don't know if I will or not. Or I might do, like, if I get to a point in the Doctor Who's where it's something I don't currently own, maybe I'll do some, like, a special episode, like, where I'll I'll read one of the books, or I'll, you know, comics, or some, I'll listen to an audio, and then I'll review that and talk about that, and see how it goes from there. The whole idea of doing a special, a friend of mine actually suggested to me that I do Doctor Who specials in this podcast ever so often, of reviewing different Doctor Who stuff. That's a good idea, but I'm like, yeah, it's a special episode, as if somebody will find it special that I'm doing that. So the confidence problem's starting out right there. But, yeah, it's a good idea. I might do it ever so often, especially if I buy new stuff, which I haven't been buying much of anything lately because, well, I got a huge backlog of graphic novels I need to read, Doctor Who and otherwise. And then I have, but I've been working on so much 10 Universe stuff, hiring artists, and doing other things to promote it, that I really don't have the money right now to buy a huge amount of Doctor Who stuff. I mean, the new set of Funkos, I think, just came out, and I'm like, oh, I want them all. I want them all, but I don't have them. I only got 2 Doctor Who Funkos, and it's one of the, Matt Smith Doctor with the, from his life story with the Cyberman head, I forgot the name of it. And then I got the Elrod Must Live Sarah Jane Smith Funko, which I just think is cool. Oh, we're in the action point of Doctor Who right now. Like, 2 cavemen are finally fighting it out. I like how it, like, they tried to do this effect in a scene of having, like, the flames, I guess, be the light or something in it. But it doesn't really work that well, I don't think. Neither does the so-called primal music. Yeah, and I know it's supposed to make it look scarier and spookier and stuff. It's not actually a bad fight scene, but I like how they flash back to the faces of the Doctor, like, real close-up, or the faces of this character real close-up, because they're supposed to be reacting to the fight really bad, or reacting in, like, a really intense way. Though, I wonder if they just hired some professional wrestlers to do this, because it kind of looks like it. But yeah, it's supposed to be, like, a savage fight to the death, and he just killed the other guy. I've always wondered, like, some of Susan's reactions has always made me think, like, was she totally sheltered? And up to this point, the Doctor kept her sheltered from any bad things, like her coming from Gallifrey and stuff like that. Did she not see anything bad? Oh, and talking about the effect during the fight, it's really weird because as soon as the fight ends and it flips over to him carrying, moving the dead body, all of a sudden, like, the visuals and the film work changes so dramatically, it kind of, like, it knocks you off kilter from the story, I think. And Ian has presented fire. And the fire, have you ever seen fire on really old episodes of TV shows from this time? Like, it makes this weird effect with the camera that it almost looks like the film is burning. Like, when you get, like, up close with it or something. It's really odd in a way. But, like, I love looking at old stuff. Like, Mar makes fun of me because I love old TV shows and I watch black and white stuff and silent film stuff. And she, like, if it's beyond the 80s, like, she's not going to freaking watch it, probably. Very few things. But now you got all the people with their fire. So, this is the start of mankind moving forward. Maybe the Doctor should go back and extinguish that fire, because we're not doing so good right now. People are, like, amazed by fire. Let's touch it. And the Doctor and Susan and him are just sitting around. Sorry, there was a gap in the story, in the audio there, probably because, it's storming here lately. I meant to podcast all week, and, like, even for, like, International Podcast Day, and I didn't get to do a new one for it because it's been storming bad, so I lost power temporarily for a second there. But I don't think I lost this podcast. I think I just lost, like, a few minutes. The Doctor and a group are cooking. They're teaching people to cook with fire. So, like, this guy wants to keep them around, I think, just in case. So the new caveman leader wants to keep them around. He's smart. He don't understand the fire yet. So he's smart and trying to keep it, like, keep them around in case something happens. And now Susan comes up with the best idea ever, putting a skull on a stick of fire and make it terrifying. Which I love this part. This is a good image, though. Skull, it always makes me think Ghost Rider, which I need to watch it. New episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Ghost Rider on it. I haven't gotten a chance to. Just started watching Luke Cage on Netflix the other night. It's good, pretty good first 2 episodes we watched. Gotta watch more later. But, yeah, I will ramble about other things on here, too. Especially when we get, like, filler episodes. all the cavemen are scared of fire and stuff. I never liked, like, where cavemen or primitives are automatically made to be, like, terrified of stuff. Of course, you would be terrified of stuff you don't understand or anything like that. But, like, all of them would be. There would be somebody come in there so often and be like, why are you so scared of this, you know? It's just fire. And, like, I think I mentioned in a previous episode, like, if you check out some of the early Doctor Who's, they do a lot of running away from stuff. Like, later, the Doctor's just automatically, like, this might be dangerous, this might be this, but we're going to stay for some odd reason. And it's not always to help. A lot of times, it's just because the Doctor just wants to. You know, I think it's been mentioned in Doctor Who before, like, his boredom is, like, painful for him. And, like, he can't be bored. Like, is this going to be... How many times have they escaped this place? I think, like, 3 times so far in this story to get captured. See if it happens again, because now the cavemen and women... And I think more women... Like, this... The thing I've noticed about this episode... this story more than anything else is the fact that there's more women in this clan than there are men. A lot more. And now the action scene is the... I love his camera. It's really close up, but obviously the TARDIS crew is running in place, and there's often that the leaves are shaked around them. But obviously they're running in place. You can tell when somebody runs in place, even with like a close-up. And they made it to the TARDIS. You can tell how to dodge. Reminds me of like, I think it's the Dominators episode where the TARDIS explodes, like right as they're taken off from it. I like the episodes when that happens. And one of the first times you hear the TARDIS take off. Not the first time, but one of the first times. Even the caveman speech, not knowing what's going on. The interior of the TARDIS, it's weird that it went from, like, actually an alright size console room and more to, like, later eras when it got so tiny and stuff. And I know it's, like, set stuff. Sorry, yawning a bit there. But I'm surprised it, like, shrank. It went from bigger to smaller to bigger. And it's really not that big now, if you look at it. So, this is the episode where Ian and Barbara realize, we can't get home. And sometimes it gets really irritating how much they're mad about that, which would have been understandable, them being mad about not being able to go home. But, it's like, okay, you just gotta deal with the situation best you can. And they do deal with it best they can. And this is the first appearance of Skaro, which I guess it is Skaro. But, and all this story causes so much crap in Doctor Who later continuity. It's like, why doesn't the Daleks and Susan, I mean, why doesn't the Doctor and Susan recognize them? Why, you know, 800 questions. But, and I love this ending, how the radiation meter goes over after they walk out. Of course, you'd have to wait a while for it to register. I think it's a nice little practical visual thing to end the episode on. So this is, episode of Brain Leakage. You can check out all things 10 Universe at 10universe.blogspot.com and all things related to me at underthetrainingbook.blogspot.com. And I hope you enjoy these, and as I get better talking after my surgeries and stuff, I hope I can talk more. It's a little hard for me to talk right now, but the next story is the Dalek story, and I hope everybody enjoys that one, enjoys our special guest that'll be on that episode. I'll see y'all later. Bye.